Bam and a bye will miss 4 to 6 weeks. We'll talk about what happens next, what Miami's options are, how the team will recover, and if their chances at making the playoffs continue strongly. We'll break down everything about the Bam and a bye news here on Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's an emergency episode of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However you may be listening on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app, thanks so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm David Ramil, and with me as always is my co-host, Wes Goldberg, brought to you by Shopify. This episode is Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. So start now at shopify.com/LockedOnNBA. Wes, hours away from the tip-off against the Cleveland Cavaliers, we were informed that Bam Adebayo, after sustaining an injury against the Denver Nuggets, would be having surgery for a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right thumb. He will undergo surgery this weekend, and a timetable on his return will be provided post-surgery. We found out since then that the approximate timetable is 4 to 6 weeks. What a crushing blow for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks is typical of this injury. You could just do a Google search. You could find all the Harvard medical documents and all that kind of stuff. 4 to 6 weeks is about right. But, you know, 6 weeks is, I think that's what we have to prepare for, right? And you say the word crushing. It could be. This could be crushing. This has the potential to be a season-altering type of injury for Miami, not because they're not going to make the playoffs or something because they're missing Bam for 15 to 20 games, which is ultimately what this is going to look like.
Right.
But the Eastern Conference is so tightly contested right now. You have five teams within a game of each other from seeds 2 to 6 right now. And that's an important range there because those are the teams that get to avoid the play-in tournament. Once you're in that play-in tournament, who knows what can happen, right? The goal for Miami now should be treading water, trying to stay somewhere around 500, trying to stay at least in that 2 to 6 range. Because right now, as we're recording this, they're tied for the third best record in the Eastern Conference with the Wizards and with the Bucks. They're a game behind or a half game behind Chicago for the number 2 seed, only a game ahead of Charlotte, who is at number 6. So things are tight. And an injury like this, if Milwaukee is getting healthy, if Charlotte can get on a roll, if Washington can maintain what it is they're doing at the start of the season, I mean, this could really impact Miami's chances, not just to avoid the play-in tournament, but their ultimate seeding in the Eastern Conference as well.
Yeah. If there's a silver lining, let's get this out right away. It's that Bam seems like he was nursing some nagging knee issues, particularly tendonitis. And if this is the case, if he does wind up missing the prolonged period of time, then at least he'll have a chance to recover. Tendonitis takes about the same amount of time to recover from, so the inflammation in his knee will go down. He'll be able to bounce back at close to 100%. This feels like the repercussion of a very long offseason for him, where he participated in Team USA. Of course, they had the season before. That was a compressed one. The year before that, where they made the NBA Finals in the short turnaround between seasons. So all that consistent level of play. We talked about this in context of Duncan Robinson. We won't get into that right now. But as far as Bam is concerned, he's been playing a lot of basketball over the last 2 years, and this just feels like the culmination. Might have just been a freak injury, but who knows?
I mean, he's 24 years old. I mean, and he's like the physical Greek god, Zeus kind of guy. Everything you hear about him, this isn't a physical. I don't buy that for a minute. Like, if he knew what he was getting into when he was doing the Olympic stuff, these guys work out year round anyway, whether it's in Tokyo or in California, it doesn't matter. You watch the play where he got hurt, and I tweeted it out, where it's, you know, it's a freak injury, right? It seemed kind of innocuous at the time. Like, obviously he stayed in the game. The play itself was, you know, it was 9 minutes and 44 seconds mark in the third quarter. He gets an offensive rebound. He drives the lane, attempts a jump pass to a cutting Kyle Lowry. And then as he's attempting that pass, his right hand just smacks the hand of Jeff Green. And that was the first time where you started to see him grabbing at that right hand. Right. And you and I were talking about it after the game. It was very noticeable throughout the rest of the half, the rest of the night. Right. He ends up finishing the game with 20 points. It's a bunch of mid-range shots, almost gets Miami back into that game, sort of.
He shrugged it off even in the postgame presser too, saying, I'm all right. He was holding his hands. He was asked about it. He said, no, I'm all right. He didn't want to talk about it.
No, he had tape around the hand when he checked in the fourth quarter. That tape was off in the postgame press conference. So something I was looking at. And he seemed fine, and everybody believed him. No tape on the hand. He finished the game. Like, it didn't really seem like a big deal. Maybe I was just thinking maybe he just jammed a finger, something like that. Turns out that he got testing done, and it turned out to be this a torn ligament in that right thumb. And now he's going to be out for a while. So, yeah, I think you could chalk it up to a freak injury. But like I said, there's a lot to get into. It could have long-ranging, potentially season-altering effects for Miami.
Yeah, and we want to talk about all those things as much as we can in this episode. Let's start off with the immediate concerns. Again, the game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I imagine because there aren't many other options. Right now, as of this recording, we don't know if Jimmy Butler is going to be available for that game. He did miss out the last game, of course, because of the bruised tailbone. We'll see if he's able to participate in tonight's Cleveland matchup. Of course, we don't know about Markieff Morris either. Still listed as questionable, I believe. I'm not sure if he's been declared officially out as of this recording. His return would certainly be a welcome addition. There are no other options. Right now, you go into the Cleveland game, at the very least, let's just say you have to immediately start Dwayne Dedmon. There are no other options. You can't start KZ O'Paul at center. You can't start Udonis Haslam. They'll be counted on. Omer Yurtseven, of course, also will be playing significant minutes. But for now, the immediate action is to insert Dedmon into the starting lineup and see if we can provide some of the energy level that he provides in short bursts, because he's going to be playing a lot more minutes than he's used to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You just start Dwayne Dedmon. Fortunately for Miami, the Heat are 3-0 without Bam Adebayo this season. They won in Memphis, they won in Oklahoma City, and they beat the Pelicans all without Bam. Now, Memphis is a good team. Oklahoma City is not, and the Pelicans are not. So I don't know how representative of a sample that is for what lays ahead in the next 15 or 20 games. I know that's something we want to talk about looking ahead a little bit. But yeah, you start Dwayne Dedmon. It's a no-brainer. I'm not even that concerned about it. Dedmon's been giving him good minutes all year. But can you really rely on him for 28-plus minutes a night? I just don't think you can historically with him. Every once in a while he could do it. But you really want to kind of keep him around 15 minutes a game, 12 minutes a game, like ideally. But even then, David, like, Omer Yurtseven, really? Like, this, are we going to do that? Like small ball KZ Akpala? Does Udonis Haslam have to, you know, dust it off, you know, every other night now? Like this is troubling. It's the depth. And you mentioned Markieff Morris too. It's now this injury. Look, he was their only backup power forward really behind PJ Tucker. And he hasn't played since the Nikola Jokic incident. And now that is an even more glaring injury. And even with Morris, that's still kind of small ball stuff. I think the Heat believe that they could play him at center. You could do a PJ Tucker and him there. But Bam Adebayo is a guy who just covers up so many problems for them defensively. Whenever there's a botched rotation or something like that by one of these veterans, he's like that young buck who can, you know, come back with that chase down block, get a steal, do something like that to just muck it up for the opposing offense. He kind of gives you that chaos factor that a really good defense needs. All that weak side help, all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm worried about. Dedmon's fine. He's solid. He's a big body. He's a good rebounder, but he's not giving you the stuff that Bam is. And you're basically going to lose. You're asking a lot in those minutes where Dedmon is not on the court anymore. I mean, this is a lot to put on the plate of a guy like Omer Yurtseven and KZ Akpala, two guys who are not ready to play night-to-night roles in the NBA.
Absolutely. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other roster options, who steps up, and maybe whether or not a change can be made to this particular group. But first, let me tell you all a little bit about Shopify. Oh, I love that sound. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. In case you don't know, Shopify is a complete commerce platform that lets you start, grow, and manage a business. The subscription-based software allows anyone to set up an online store and sell their product. Shopify store owners can also sell in physical locations using Shopify POS, our point-of-sale app, and accompanying hardware. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for just big businesses, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility, and Shopify helps you make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. And so go to Shopify.com right now, /LockedOnNBA, all lowercase, and for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA right now. That's Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill and take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year using Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped save them over $100 million. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Just a reminder that you can always reach us via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag #EscalHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. And also, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And because your feedback is so important to us, we put together a very brief survey to let us know more about how you listen or watch the show. Just another opportunity to reach out to us in a way no other outlet encourages. We're here talking about the Bam Adebayo move and, well, the surgery, actually, where he's going to be missing at least 4 to 6 weeks. And we were talking a little bit about the break, about Dewayne Dedmon, what he provides. At the very least, Miami's going to have to shift their defensive coverages, right? We assume that they're probably going to incorporate a lot more drop coverage. Yeah. They're not going to be able to switch as much as they did because, well, Bam Adebayo is very good at that. A unique unicorn, to use the term, that allows Miami to do so much switching. We've seen on past occasions where maybe Miami could overswitch at times. That leaves a mismatch where, say, a Kyle Lowry or a Gabe Vincent winds up having to guard a big for a prolonged period of time. We saw in the Denver game where Nikola Jokic was able to take advantage of those smaller matchups. Now, of course, Jokic was going to take advantage of almost anybody guarding him, but that's a whole other story as far as what Dedmon can provide. He's that big body. He'll provide some rebound, but yes, not as nimble or sure-footed as Bam Adebayo, but neither is any of the other options on this roster right now. You can't go to Yurt Seven. He's too slow in that regard. Udonis Haslem can no longer provide that at this stage in his career. Is Okpala a good option to get more minutes at center? I think that's probably a likely option just because I don't know that you can go to Yurt Seven. I know we were talking about that before the break, but what do you think? Is Okpala as small ball five a distinct possibility in the future?
I think it has to be. I mean, look, it's Okpala's third year. Drafted that same class as Tyler Hero. Like, it's time, you know, if this is his ultimate test, right? We're going to know in the next 4 to 6 weeks whether or not Okpala is an NBA player. And there's, you know, this team talks all the time about next man up mentality, right? Because this is, they've dealt with injuries to Bam for three games. They've been games without Jimmy Butler recently, games without Kyle Lowry, games without Tyler Hero recently. Like, all of them talk about next man up. And, you know, Gabe Vincent has stepped in for Tyler Hero. Like, Caleb Martin was fine as a starter in place of Jimmy Butler. There's no Jimmy Butler, but he was okay. Can Okpala just be okay? He doesn't have to be good. He doesn't have to be like some sort of second round gem. He just needs to be, can you just be okay? Can you just be an NBA player for 4 to 6 weeks, for 15 to 20 games? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. I'm with you. There are going to be minutes where they have to go to Yurt Seven. He's a bigger body. They're going to have to do it. They probably will go drop with Dedmon. I could see them going to zone quite a bit, especially with Okpala in there.
Good point.
I could see them going PJ Tucker at center in minutes and just going super small. If Jimmy Butler is available, you could play him at power forward. You can play Duncan Robinson at a forward spot. Like, there's ways that they can maneuver this. They're going to, you know, we know that Eric Spoelstra is going to go to all, it's not going to just be one thing with him. It's not going to be one defensive look. It's going to be some drop. It's going to be some switching. It's going to be some zone here and there. We might see some new versions of the zone, David. I think that's quite possible. Sure. But you make a good point that I want to kind of circle back to about how maybe they got caught over switching a little bit. And I think with Bam, you know, you hear this all the time offensively. You always build your system around your best player. It's the same is true for the most part defensively. And Bam is really great at switching, and you want to lean into what – and he's their best defensive player. It's him and Jimmy Butler. They're both really great man-to-man, but they can also switch and guard positions 1 through 5 for the most part. Right. And so that's why you kind of build that system to switch the way it does with Bam. Without him – maybe you do see some more man-to-man stuff, particularly on the perimeter. Right now, you've got a little bit more Jimmy Butler just taking out a dude. Maybe Kyle Lowry just sticks to the opposing point guard every single night. That could be helpful, especially on the perimeter, especially in limiting threes. I mean, I think we could see a little bit more of that kind of stuff, fighting over screens and doing that kind of stuff. Trying to search for a silver lining here, David. Maybe that's it. But it's going to take everybody. It's going to take all. It's not going to be just Edmund, Akpala. It's going to take all five guys playing defense at a better level than they have already this season, when they've been one of the best five defenses in the league, to make up for the loss of Bam.
And we should mention, and this is probably something that should be obvious, and I know we've mentioned it before, Bam makes everybody else's job so easy. You know, all those passes that Jimmy Butler can intercept with such ease, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's got this back line of Bam Adebayo that can force somebody, a guard or somebody else, into a bad pass. That won't be an option anymore. Unfortunately, without Adebayo, I'm not sure who steps up in that regard. Maybe somebody else will find an opportunity there. But at the same time, we're going to have to see Jimmy probably playing less of that kind of a cornerback type mentality where he can break up a pass or something like that. He's not going to be able to have those kind of that kind of range, the luxury that Bam affords. But this is all defensively. Offensively, okay, I'm sorry, you had another point.
No, there's a ripple effect that I think you're getting to there. Right. Is that, you know, now there's fewer transition opportunities, if that's the case, right? You got to be a little bit more conservative defensively.
Right.
The Heat have had a hard time in the half court.
Right. Sometimes. Absolutely. Yeah. And look, and that's all of the defensive end of things. Offensively, who steps up for Bam Adebayo's absence? The obvious answer is the two other stars on this team, and maybe Tyler Herro as well, as the third tertiary type star now with Bam gone. They all have to step up. Like, the scoring load has to increase commensurately across the board. Everybody has to be able to provide those 19 points per game that Bam provides, not to mention the gang rebounding, the defense, and everything else. But scoring wise, the playmaking is going to go through Jimmy and Kyle, which might work in short bursts here and there, but you always want to have the advantages that an Adebayo and his playmaking provides. As far as the scoring load, again, Jimmy and Kyle have to do more. This is why you have them on the roster. We've criticized Lowry in the past, not us necessarily, but in general, he's struggled at times there. There's been times where he's been not necessarily passive, but also not quite as aggressive and not knocking down the three-point shot. He has to step up, and Tyler Herro will probably take on a much larger load as well, even larger than he's already been. As far as anybody else, I mean, PJ Tucker, maybe Markieff Morris can provide an added burst here and there. But, I mean, it's something that everybody has to shoulder. That's just the bottom line. You run your offense through Bam Adebayo, and all of a sudden now with him gone, somebody has to find a way to step up. And it's just it has to be everybody. That's just absolutely how it has to play out. Yeah.
I'm less worried about things offensively just because I'm so worried about things defensively, I guess.
Sure.
But, you know, Jimmy Butler has showed – at times when he needs to step up this year, he can. And he goes out and scores 29 points, 32 points, and things like that. I think we see a lot more of that Jimmy Butler. If he's not spending all of his time jumping passing lanes on defense, I think we get just a much more – he just takes that aggression and just moves it towards the offensive end. And I could see that happening. Tyler Herro, he's going to continue to be your leading sixth man of the year here. I'm mostly concerned about Duncan Robinson because – We just did a whole podcast about how do you get Duncan Robinson out of this slump. And I think one of the things we talk a lot about is just, you know, get him more involved with Bam Adebayo, that Bam Adebayo dribble handoff. I mean, that's still a big chunk of his shots. And look, I've watched every single three-pointer Duncan Robinson has taken this year. There's a little bit of a hitch in his shooting motion, something like that. I'm not a shot doctor. I don't know all that stuff, but The looks that he's getting are makeable, and a lot of them are off that Bam dribble handoff and all that kind of stuff. If that's no longer there, now Duncan Robinson's job just got a little bit harder, and that slump maybe getting a little bit harder to snap out of. That's my main offensive concern. Bam hasn't been as much of the playmaker for everybody else as he was in past seasons. He's talked about that. He's been more of a scorer this year, more of kind of a post guy, a role threat. I think there's ways to replace that. So, but again, it's got, you're absolutely right. It's going to take everybody on both ends.
Yeah. Before we start talking about the minutiae of the schedule and the particular challenges that are posed over the next 4 to 6 weeks, potentially, I'm curious, like, should we count on the return of NBA Finals Jimmy Butler? Is that something that he can do for a consistent amount of time, like 4 to 6 weeks? I don't think we've ever seen a stretch like that from him at any point in his career, just because he's never been that type of player, but that might be what's necessary in order to make up the point differential that you lose with Bam's injury here. And I don't know if that's fair either, because you've got an older player who was playing at a near MVP type level, And now all of a sudden you're asking him to do even more, mostly because, well, there have been moments where Bam hasn't been as aggressive as a lot of Heat fans would like. What do you think? Is it time for Finals Jimmy to return?
I mean, we've kind of seen stretches of Finals Jimmy during this season. I think he'll be there. It's not going to be like he needs to go from averaging 23 points to 43 points, right? He's not going to make up all of those Bam Adebayo points. I think you made a really, I think Kyle Lowry is the guy. He needs to be a 20 point per game, 18 point per game type of scorer. You know, 16, 18 points is probably good for him. And Duncan Robinson has to find a way to break out of that shooting slump. If Lowry could do that and Duncan Robinson can start that to shoot the ball at his normal rate, offensively, the Heat will be fine. Right? Dwayne Dedmon is a good rebounder. He'll get some offensive rebounds. He'll still get the second chance points, all that stuff. PJ Tucker is able to space the floor from you from that four spot. I think they'll be okay, but it's going to require Lowry and Duncan Robinson starting to be that backcourt that the Heat envisioned.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule and the challenges it presents in their next segment. But first, just a reminder that BetOnline has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues the march to the playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. We're breaking down the Bam Adebayo injury and the impact of the Miami Heat. Of course, we're looking at the potential impact to the playoffs. But I think if we're stepping out just a little bit larger before we get into the schedule just a little bit, can the Heat make any kind of roster moves? I know a lot of people are already saying, well, look, the Milwaukee Bucks just added DeMarcus Cousins. Is there anybody else out there that Miami can bring in? Maybe a Micah Potter from the Sioux Falls Skyforce. And I don't know about you, Wes, but personally, I don't think there's any options. I think right now, as we mentioned before, you've got Okpala on the roster. This is time to put up or shut up for him. He has a roster spot. This is his opportunity to prove something. You've got the veteran, grizzled nature of Udonis Haslem for a couple minutes here and there. You've got the potential of Omer Yurtseven. Hopefully, Markieff Morris comes back at some point soon. Otherwise, can Miami sign anybody to like a 10-day contract? Is it time to, as we've asked before in a recent mailbag episode, should you bring in Myers Leonard? I mean, this is a guy who has some familiarity with the Heat system. You assume he's probably in good shape, but not necessarily game shape. That seems like a risky move. I just don't know that there's anybody else, maybe a Greg Monroe, a name that's been linked to Miami in the past because he's worked out in Miami. That's another big body.
Is he 40? Like,
no, he's actually really young. I think he's much younger than Kyle Lowry, actually. I think he's like 29, 30. No kidding. Wow. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
No, I have a couple other names. Myers Leonard is one of them.
All right,
you have to bring somebody in. You have to. I'm sorry, Mickey Arison. I know it's been a tough couple of years for cruise lines. I don't care. Pay the luxury tax. Shell it out. You're an NBA owner. This is the job. If you wanted to be in a more lucrative industry, you didn't have to own an NBA team, right? Like, this is what comes with it. You still, just because Bam's out 4 to 6 weeks does not mean your season is over. This is not that kind of injury. And you owe it to this organization, to the fans, and to these players that to do what you can to maximize this season. And part of that is going to be, sorry, luxury tax, we're going into it. Right. We're doing it. I know there's repeater tax stuff and all that. I don't want to hear it, Mickey. Right. You got to do it. You have to
dispel it. Let's dispel any possibility of tanking or anything like that. This team would never do it. Not under these circumstances, certainly, but absolutely not. No, they're not going to even entertain that as an
option. It's time to chase your money. It's time to chase. And
you bring in Kyle Lowry. You've got Jimmy Butler at his peak. You take advantage of this time. You can't afford to punt this season away, even if you miss 6 weeks. Even if you go 0-20 over the next 6 weeks, you're still making a push for the playoffs no matter what.
You're not getting the one seed while Bam is out, but you could stay right where you're at. And I think going and getting a veteran body, and maybe it's a little, I don't know who it is. I'll get to my names here in a minute, but just do it. Bring them in for workouts. Start the process yesterday. Right. I know that when it comes to signing a guy on the minimum, you've got the open 15th roster spot. This is why you have it. I know that, you know, with prorated minimums and things like that, you can wait until March to sign a guy and stay under the tax. And that's what's been talked about, especially in regards to maybe promoting Caleb Martin to the 15-man roster. Yep. Throw all that out the garbage. Crumble it up. It's not an option anymore. Fill the 15th spot this week. You have to do it. Start bringing in guys. I would look at Aaron Baines. He was just in the NBA last year. I would look at Aaron Baines. I would look at Jahlil Okafor as far as another guy who works out in Miami. He's local. Myers Leonard, just do it. I think Micah Potter is an interesting name. See what's going on in Sioux Falls. Look around the G League. It doesn't have to be just from Sioux Falls. Like, there's not a whole lot of centers in the G League. But that's where you found Hassan Whiteside a few years ago. So you just got to do it. You got to start doing the work right now. And I just, if they don't fill this 15th roster spot, I really think that fans should be upset with Micah Harrison, because the only reason they wouldn't do it is because of the luxury tax. And I just don't want to hear it anymore.
Right. And look, again, to reiterate, you cannot sacrifice this season. So who is the ideal player? Like, we talk about what Bam provides, obviously size, rebounding, playmaking, scoring. You're not getting all that. You look at who's going to be replacing him, most likely Dwayne Dedmon, a bigger body who can stretch the floor, et cetera. But who is the right guy? Is it just a rebounding body? Like, in that sense, maybe Okafor would be a great fit there. A guy like Greg Monroe, who I just checked, is only 31 years old. Maybe that's an option as well. I mean, who in your vision is like the, not the name, but who is the type of player that would work best as far as what you're requiring of him over the next 4 to 6 weeks?
A rebounder. I mean, you just look at the formula that Miami has been working under this entire season. You're not going to find Bam in free agency. There's reason Bam is one of one, right? He's a unicorn type of player. But your formula this year is play really good defense, get a bunch of rebounds, score 100 points on offense. And by the way, with the Warriors failing to score 100 points last night against the Suns, I believe the Heat have the longest active streak of games with 100 or more points scored in a row. And I think it's 14 or 15 games. So there's, I'm less worried about things offensively, but defensively, I just think you need a big body, because outside of Dedmon, you're asking Stringbean Akpala and to be a center, and then Omar Yurtseven to know what position to be in. I just think you need a really big veteran type of person who's been in the, played many years in the NBA, who can rebound the ball for you.
All right, so let's get into the schedule talk. Again, we're looking at 6 weeks, probably by mid-January or even the start of the year, if things progress as well as you could like. You've got some key matchups. Obviously, you play the Bucks, you play the Cavs, but you've also got some games, you know, that are eminently winnable against the Detroit Pistons, the Orlando Magic. You play each of those twice over that span. There's some tough games, but some easy ones. What's Miami's goal? Is it just to kind of figure things out? You said that they just have to kind of hang over the next 20 games, assuming that's the worst case scenario. You know, they're 13-8 right now over 20 games, kind of go 13-7. Is that realistic? Is that the goal? I mean, obviously the goal is to win 20 games, but that doesn't seem very possible. And given that, then is it just shoot for 10-10? Is 500 an acceptable mark at this point in time?
500, I think, would be great if you could just stay at 500. Look, you've got some tough games. I mean, and now without Bam, you look at Saturday's game, you know, at Milwaukee, second night of a back-to-back, you know, you just assume you're going to lose that one. Like, that's a schedule loss. Sure. If you win it, great, but you're not counting on it. Then you look at, like, a back-to-back game later in the month against after playing Washington at home on the 28th, you're playing in San Antonio, second night of a back-to-back. San Antonio's no good, but, you know, that's another schedule loss. I think you look at games like at Golden State on the second night of a back-to-back. That's probably a loss anyway, but that's you could chalk that up as a loss. And then you're basically through, and then you got at Phoenix January 8th, which is right about that 20-game mark, and you could maybe chalk that up as a loss. Aside from those games, I think still without Bam, the other games are all winnable, right? There's tough games coming up against Chicago at home, at Philadelphia. You can go through it, but those are the games that I would just be like, all right, put that down as an L. I think 13-7 is realistic. I think 10-10 should be the goal. And if you reach that 13-7, great. 10-10 would get you 23-18 by the time you're halfway through the year. That's not awful in the Eastern Conference. And like I said, the Heat have been 3-0 without Bam this year. But my main concern is just surviving those minutes when Dedmon now is off the floor. I keep going back to it. I don't know. 10-10 to me.
Looking at the schedule now, I didn't even realize it. On December 31st, they kick off a 6-game road trip against the Houston Rockets. Then they go to Sacramento, Golden State, Portland, Phoenix, and Atlanta. So you assume, as we've seen in the past, that Bam's probably not going, even if he accelerates the timeline significantly, he's ready by almost the start of the new year. He's not likely to join the team on the road for those five games. Like, he's probably going to stay, rehab, finish up, get healthy, etc. So as much as we'd
either late December or mid-January, that's that 4 to 6 week window.
Right, exactly. So we just have to consider, let's assume, I think it's probably fair that assuming, unless a miracle happens, he's probably not going to come back in time until the end of that road trip in mid-January. And so Miami just has to find a way to figure it out. And like you said, add some kind of player. I'm not sure. I think we've talked about all the different possibilities, adding somebody to the roster, what happens offensively, what happens defensively. Is there anything that I'm missing out? Because, we're recording this less than an hour after we found out about the news. So we're kind of taken aback. But we want to provide a quick update and a quick reaction pod to the loss of Bam Adebayo. Is there something that maybe I've overlooked here?
If there is, I've overlooked it as well. And we've got 4 to 6 weeks to carve into this. So I'm sure we'll touch on it at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see what happens. We'll have another recap of Miami's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers from the FTX Arena. Hopefully that finds a way. Miami finds a way to win that game and gets good minutes from some of the contributors. We'll see. It'll set the template for how this team moves forward. We've seen in the past, even this season, where a key player has been out and kind of throws everything off kilter. We saw when Kyle was out for one game early in the season, they lost that game against the Indiana Pacers. When Jimmy Butler was hurt against the Los Angeles Lakers in the first quarter of that game, they kind of lost their identity. They're going into this matchup against the Cavaliers knowing Bam's not going to be available again for likely 6 weeks. How they respond is a huge thing to consider, and we'll have all of that information for you again after that game in a full recap. But thanks so much for joining us today, again, for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Make sure to please subscribe to our channel on YouTube and to always follow us wherever you get podcasts. Every episode is free and available to you whenever we're done recording. And of course, make sure to check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. This is David Ramil signing off for now. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes.
Happy Hanukkah, everybody.